My name is Tumi Makgetla.
Yeah,
it's the 7th of June, 2010. I'm in Jakarta, Indonesia, with Dr. Siti Nurbaya, who played an important role in implementing Indonesia's decentralization policy as a Secretary General of the Ministry of Home Affairs from February 2001 to May 2005. First, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us and agreeing to share your thoughts and memories with us.
Thank you.
Can we begin with your giving us a brief overview of your career and a description of how you came to be involved in this huge effort at the Ministry of Home Affairs?
Oh, yeah, thank you, Tumi. I work as a government officer since 1979, and I work as a, how do you call it, in planning bureau,
mm-hmm.
and it was July 1979,
uh-huh.
and then I serve the provincial government of Lampung. It is in the southern tip of Sumatra.
Okay.
So not so far from Jakarta, and I work for almost 20 years in the Regional Development Planning Board, and then I was asked by Minister Hartono to be posted in Jakarta in May 1998.
Yeah,
it was exactly just 2 or 3 days before the reform, because I was inaugurated on 8th of May, and then the it was actually Friday, and then on 11th it was Monday I started working. And then Tuesday on the May 12th was exactly the
wow.
date when we got reform.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was appointed as a chief of planning bureau,
mm-hmm.
and I worked very close because of this sudden and difficult and hard situation, and I worked very close to Secretary General and the minister. By the time I still have with Pak Hartono until 20. Of May,
mm-hmm.
when President Suharto came down, and then our minister was changed,
mm-hmm.
yeah, again to Syarwan Hamid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were having, I could say, a very hard time by the time because of the turbulent situation, I could say,
mm-hmm.
And I was appointed as a Secretary General in February 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And then I work for the whole of the implementation at the first stage. And then on May 2005, I left Secretary General of Home Affairs, and then I served Secretary General of this institution,
mm-hmm.
the state institution, we call it Regional Representative Council,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
DPDRI, the parliament.
Yes.
So I am lucky, I believe, because I have been posted in the executive
mm-hmm.
branch,
mm-hmm.
and I moved to legislative branch.
Mm-hmm.
As a bureaucrat, I believe this is a very good fortune for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this is a really vast experience, mm-hmm. and it's going to be difficult to ask questions because I'll have so many. But perhaps we can start with when you first came to Jakarta in 1998. What were the challenges of the day? You said this reform process began
mm-hmm.
just days after you arrived. What did you see as the work that needed to be done?
Yeah, in my position, by the time, of course, regarding these ministries, and actually the Ministry of Home Affairs function is not only about the ministry itself, but
mm-hmm.
it is, about the whole provinces and the whole districts and sub-districts and the whole of areas, because by the time, the function of Home Affairs Ministry is to control the whole local governments.
Mm-hmm.
So on my position as a planning bureau, which is covering the whole of the ministry's program,
mm-hmm.
By that time I have to make a good record on and monitoring from the whole provinces. By the time I was thinking what would be the effects, the things influencing to the regional government about that situation, and it was actually very dynamic also in the province. And by the time it was, you know, very hard situation. It's not only about this dynamism on the parliamentary aspect, on the government aspect, but also in the parliamentary. We have a very dynamic situation in the parliament, and also the communities, the societies. There are some riots, anarchies, and those things. You know, by the time I was trying to see who is in the world who has a good situation that riots was not there, something like that. And I learned from the internet it was New Zealand was zero demonstration. With zero riot, something like that. So I start learning, and I was trying to see what gonna be happen with the whole governors, because when Pak Soeharto got down, then I was thinking maybe will be more than half of our governor also could be down, something like that. So I learned about such things. And I wrote a letter to the whole local government asking about what happened with their regulations. Because, you know, it was a very fast changing from the centralistic to the decentralized. And we collect the data by that time. It was about 95,000 local regulation was produced from 1990 to 1998. I asked about 5 to 8 years period of numbers of regulation. So I couldn't imagine by the time how would we manage this. And it's not only Home Affairs Ministry which is busy on that. I also learned that Ministry of Finance also busy. Because you know they are trying to see the budget system. With this changing, how big a bunch of money to be sent to the local government. Also, they are busy in the, by the time Pak Hartarto and Pak Darmin, Pak Darmin Nasution was also one of the actors, I believe. And we discuss about this civil servants. How would happen with these civil servants? Maybe we have to send them back in the other way proportion. By this time, by that time, we have a big portion in central and low portion in the region. By that time, we calculated that Home Affairs was controlling about 1.8 million civil servants. So they talked to us a lot. Ibu Siti, maybe we could prove more civil servants to the region instead of staying in Jakarta, something like that. So this kind of thing, you know, it's just in one time. Okay, then we have, then in 1999 we have the law, the 22 law 1999. It is correct that Parafyuddin Hamarung was was having a very big role on that aspect. And beforehand, before the law of regional government, we established the law on political aspect. So there are about political party law, about election law, and about the this format of parliament, like General Assembly, then lower house, this kind of thing, and also the regional representative, but not this institution. DPD institution is coming later with the amendment. So the significance of political law change, I believe Professor Yas Rashid has been in explaining to you quite a lot, I believe. So, but my duty by the time is to provide how could we manage the election on 1999 April?
Yeah.
Or afterward, it was shift to June.
Okay.
To June. As a chief of planning bureau, it is my duty to provide the planning for the budget, for the election.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a big changes also in the election format. I believe again, Pak Riaz Rashid has been telling you quite a lot. Also in the format of the substance itself, like free election and honest and fair and things like that. So by the time Bappenas coordinating us, you know why? Because I believe there has been a lot of support for overseas cooperation. From overseas cooperation
To Bappenas.
To Bappenas, to Indonesia, and it should go through Bappenas for the let's say government relations.
Okay.
Yeah. So Bappenas has established a team there, and there are two sub team. The first sub team is about the policy of the whole reform regarding the election, and the second team was on the planning for the election budget, something like that. And I was appointed by Bappenas to be the chief for this sub team. We call it Team B.
Okay.
So we sit together and we discuss quite a lot, and I learn we have a lot of discussion with UNDP, and I believe they give us a lot of examples for this election. We call it free election and honest and those things, which is different from the previous one. And I learn a document from Ghana, Ghana election. So I'm trying to see how is the situation in Ghana, and then I'm trying to adopt it also for Jakarta, and I'm trying also to adopt it from our previous system.
Can you
Can
you describe maybe some of the key points from the Ghana example that you thought were helpful?
Not really. I just see the general format. Because I'm trying to see the expected meets by UNDP.
Okay.
So I just see the because we have our own regulation. So I'm just seeing the format, because I believe UNDP has a certain format for that. The principles, the activities, the target, something like that.
Okay.
But it was in my memory about this Ghana, this Ghana documents.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, it's document. And then we developed the planning, and you know what happened? By that time, we used the budget for the election about 1.02 trillion. It was about $1 billion ya, about $1 billion.
Itu
one billion, 1 trillion itu berarti kan 1 miliar US, yes, about $1 billion. But that's from our budget, and then we have about 94 miliar, about 94,000 support. 94 juta US, 94 million US dollar supporting by foreign countries through UNDP. That was more or less the budget by that time. Then it was working, and then we got the election, and then we got the new parliament after June, and then we started discussing in the General Assembly. And we started also made the amendment of the constitution. It was started on 1999, And then in 1999 November, we choose our new president. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine about 4 years to 5 years, we have about five presidents.
Yeah.
It was very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. And then I got new president. By that time, we got new president, President Abdurrahman Wahid. Mm-hmm. So May 1998, Habibie was there, and Habibie has made a lot of progress. Mm-hmm. We have a free, freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. We have freedom of the press.
Yeah.
He released also the political, what do you say, apa kalau orang yang di penjara tuh? Put out the political from jail. And I think that's a very significant for democracy. Uh-huh. That was on Pak Habibie time. Uh-huh. And then during Gus Dur, during from November December 1999, we have a new established government. Mm-hmm. It's difficult situation. We abolished social department, social mm-hmm. ministry. We abolished communication ministry. Mm-hmm. And we have a quite difficult time running the agenda. Mm-hmm. So, but as a Ministry of Home Affairs, by that time, during Gus Dur period, was I believe we just started with the new format of decentralization. Mm-hmm. That was that means May 1999, the law was established, mm-hmm. the law on regional development. They call it Law 22. Mm-hmm. That means it has to be, in the law, it was saying that it has to be operated after 2 years, mm-hmm. at the latest. So we started preparing things, and then under this new president, Home Affairs was split. Uh-huh. Home Affairs Ministry was split.
Okay.
One, we call it Ministry of Home Affairs. And then the other, we call it Ministry of Regional Autonomy. Mm-hmm. Did Professor Riaz Rashid mention about this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the Minister for Regional Autonomy was actually Professor mm-hmm. Riaz Rashid. Mm-hmm. He asked me, and he wrote our minister to have myself as a Secretary General for him. Mm-hmm. But our previous minister, by the time Suryadi Sudirja, uh-huh. was refusing the Parias request. So I work for the two.
Okay.
They have as a minister from November 1999, and I work for the two more or less 9 months. Because Parias was also in our office by the time as a minister.
Yeah.
So we got two ministers. Uh-huh. In the same building.
Yeah.
By that time. For me, I don't mind at all, and it was quite good, okay for me, but I found sometimes that I could not work for the two. Uh-huh. I have to work only for one.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I have to represent both ministers uh-huh. in the coordination meeting. So I'm trying to collect the whole... Mm-hmm. The whole agenda, either Parias agenda or Pasuryadi's agenda. Mm-hmm. So that's the situation.
Interesting.
So by that time, I think was not quite harmonious, I could say, in the sense of the target to produce law regulation and those things, because the changes of the establishment of the institutions. Mm-hmm. Of course, will affect many situations mm-hmm. about authorities, about subject coverage of the subjects, mm-hmm. about those things. So by the time, Home Affairs was concentrating on this national building mm-hmm. because it was something like difficult, and then we tried to collect again.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed to the region, sitting there. And meanwhile, Parias aspect, mm-hmm. the other minister, which is split it from Omaverse, developing about these autonomy aspects. Mm-hmm. That's the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are some difficulties, I could say, because the whole regions in Indonesia, the whole local government, was directed by these two ministers. And there are some agendas which is, you know, because of this very long period of previous system, the regional government consulting us a lot compared to the others, but Parias Rashid and the minister of him was also helping us and helping the regions on this, you know, democratic concept. So by that time we established the association, you call it. I learned it also from Canada when I was in Canada in November 1998, about this association of the local government. Also about this association of the, you know, of the teachers and things like that to be the local, to be the governor, something like that. So I learned quite a lot in Canada, and then when I'm in Jakarta, oh, this is the situation like I have seen in Canada, something like that. So Pak Rias and our minister by that time, but I believe it is more pushed by Pak Rias minister side for this association's improvement. And it was very aggressive, I could say. Maybe you recognize about this local government association. It means that the whole governors, they establish an association. The whole provincial parliament, they establish also association. So this kind of things, you know.
When did that happen?
In the period of 2000.
Okay.
2000 to 2001. These 2 years, within 2 years, they established. 2000. And then, you know, in the ceremonial, they always two ministers there.
Yeah.
Pak Rias and Pak Suryadi, and yeah, that's fine. So and also later on came the Minister of Finance. So we were together very well. You know why Minister of Finance? Because it is regarding the fiscal concept. We in 2000 we decided to shift the fiscal year from April to March, becoming January to December. There are some, let's say, ceremonial things for this aspect too, because of you know, it is set up in relation to the parliament. In 2000, it was decided that the presidential speech to be mixed together with the ceremonial for the presidential progress on state budget and things like that for the new planning for the next year. You know what happened to me until now? We still have to make the adjustment about that one in this parliament.
Really?
Yeah, so this morning, this afternoon, I will have to accompany our speaker to talk to the other speaker next door for this arrangement, whether this is wise, what is the best way, what is the good things for influencing the people of Indonesia, something like that, you know. I said it is already 10 years ago, and it's still, you know, remaining the details and the technical matters.
Yeah, wow.
So yeah. That's the situation. And then I could see the weakness by the time that after the issuance of the regional government law. On May 1999, I admit that we have rather low progress on providing regulations, the technical regulations. So, due to political situation, on August 2001, Gus Dur was not anymore president. Yeah, Parias maybe also told you. Gus Dur was not a president, and then we have again new president, Megawati. That was August 2001, which I was already a secretary general for that. And then I talked to our, and then the minister again becoming mixed from the one regional autonomy minister come back to home affairs minister.
Why was that done?
That's a policy. That's just a policy from the new president. And I said to our minister, okay, let's see now and concentrate on this implementation aspect. Actually, in 2000, before this new president coming, we have had a CGI meeting in Tokyo. And by that time, we were pushed to have a good concept on implementation. And I was supported by JTZ, Sida, you call it, from Canada, and then World Bank. We discuss about more or less the implementation, although this is home affairs, and while we have another ministry, Parias Rasid, but for this CGI meeting, we who represents the discussion was home affairs. So I have no other choice instead of, you know, just providing the more or less the implementation, because we are also responsible for this implementation.
What does CGI stand for?
Sorry?
CGI, what does that stand for?
CIDA, Canadian.
CIDA. So it's a CIDA meeting?
Yes. No, not a CIDA meeting. CGI,
yeah,
Consultative Group for Indonesia,
okay,
in Tokyo,
great.
October.
Okay. That's what I wanted. Thank
yeah,
you.
CGI meeting, Tokyo, October 2000. That was actually, a focal point that we have to provide the implementation plan.
Okay.
So by the time I was not officially a secretary general, but I was with the minister, went to Tokyo, and we explained about the implementation plan. We have a plan, you know, 1000 as we call it initiation phase, initiation phase, and then initiation, let me see. And then we call it, and then within 2 years after that, within 2001 and 2002, we call it installment period, initiation period, installment period. And then we call it within the 2003 and 2004 should be stabilization.
Okay.
That's more or less the plan. So we try to do this plan. You know what happened? Because of many substance in the regional law of the 1991, so there are some conflict in the region. There are some difficulties between the central government communication to the local government communication, and then we decided to change the law. In 2004, so my implementation was not working. So that's again we have to make a good installment, and also in the parliament, as I mentioned, they have started then develop a new amendment, the new constitution. Was supporting. Position of the regions, while the regions then they have a good chance to arrange their own regulation, and then could make an adaptation later with the government, the central government rules and things like that. So you can imagine the difficulties of the situation. Then and then we again change the law. We call it again regional law, but it's not number 22 anymore. We call it number 24. sorry, 32. 32 of 2004. The most reason for this changing is more about the operational aspect. Because with this 22 of 1991 was not really working well. That's our consideration. So we change that. You know, the good point to change it, and Parliament likes it, is also in this direct election of the governors, of the Bupati, and those things. That's the situation.
Okay, well, I'd like to ask you more about these things, but that's a really excellent overview of a lot of the factors at play and some of the tensions and the changes. Can we start off with, firstly, you know, in 98 when you came in, how clear was the vision of what decentralization would be? Where was the change coming from and the vision that would later become the reality, which is to take power to the second level?
Well, it is actually quite clear because we have already the test. In 1995, Home Affairs gave us a test. I was in the region by that time, and they take one district from one province to be tested as a regional autonomy format. So for me, as a planner by that time, it was quite clear. Because luckily we have already the test for the 32. And we have had already the guidance for that. And it was quite good. And also by that time in 1987 to 1992, sorry, Pak Rudini itu tahun berapa ya?
Setelah Pak Suryadi.
Oh iya, enggak, sebelum. Nah, oke. 1987 to 1992, the minister was Pak Rudini, and he already said by that time, quiet sometimes, about this decentralization. But he said more about the districts part. He mentioned all the time about there will be no more parliament in the province, something like that, which is, of course, region didn't like it. Didn't like of Pak Rudini said. But after 1992, Pak Rudini was replaced by another minister because we have 5 years term. So we have already actually our complaint from the region about this decentralization because we have a previous law, we call it law number 5 of 274, which is mentioning a little bit about this decentralization, but there are no one of the regulation of the which is deriving from this law. So there has been actually already many complaints from the regions.
Okay, so there had been this momentum. Can I ask you a bit more about this this test in 95? When you said that one district from each province was to have autonomy, what did that mean as a pilot? So were they given the opportunity to develop regulations? Did they have to deliver? Did they have different functions and responsibilities? How was this test structured?
The structure of the test is. The minister saying that okay, let's start our experiment on regional autonomy. So give us information. What do you provide? What do you have? What do you do? But it's not about the chance for writing the regulation or defining. It's about start the collection, collecting the data. And then they give us information and they evaluate what we can do in our own. But not yet, not yet direction that you can do this now, you can do this now. Because it should be when the test is okay, then maybe government, the central government will say or will do something for the guidance. That's the situation by the time. So that means in the former time, during the period before 98, We have regular meeting, so I can provide exact week for providing data and those things from the province to the central government. So, including on this test period, we have providing the whole data, the whole aspect from the whole sectors, from the whole management format for one district as a data. So we provide it and discuss it in 1996 and in 1997. That's the situation. So they test. They try to observe what is the best what the best districts in the province and something like that. So unfortunately, starting July 1997, we got problem with this economy, and the situation was very turbulence. So so in 1998, still we have. I call it before the regular meeting from province to central. That was 1999. Normally we do it in February, first week or second week every year at the former time. So but in 1998 the political in the central was already having difficulties, and I was still in the province by that time. In January and those things, and starting a lot of demonstration and those things.
Okay.
So that's the format. More observation, I believe.
Okay. So there had been some people, like the former minister, who was pushing for people to consider decentralization. There had been this test, but at the same time, it seems it would be quite difficult to get everybody to agree to give up power as part of decentralization. Were the groups that opposed it, who spoke out against decentralization, and what were their concerns? Were there groups that resisted decentralization?
Can you explain a bit
more? Individuals, ministries, were there anyone who opposed the idea?
Not formally and not so open. Because by that time it was a difficult time, because we cannot speak freely. So we I just heard from my province about how that possible that this local parliament will be abolished, and what gonna happen with this and this and that, something like that. It's only in the you know, we cannot speak openly. But I believe by that time Sri Bintang Pamungkas and Gus Dur itself and Ali Sadikin in the petisi 50, they call it 50 petition. Maybe you have heard, or you can make a note about this. They call it Forum Demokrasi, Democratic Forum. It was Ali Sadikin was there, Abdurrahman Wahid was there. So anyway, there are some some voice a little bit, but not so sharp, not so strong, because of the government system by that time. There are some.
And so when we go forward to the period after the law had been passed, 22 of 1999, and you began to think about implementation, what did, can you describe to me the steps that that meant? You know, because it must have covered various areas, from transferring assets and civil servants to, you know, new organizations. Can you describe to me the agenda?
Yeah, but by the time we worked together with Ministry of Administrative Reform, we call it Menpan, and they are decided by the president to be the coordinator, actually. Menteri Pendayagunaan, Menpan we call it. They are considered as a coordinator for the implementation.
Was that under Minister Hartarth?
Another minister, which is appointed by president to be coordinated, to be coordinator for the whole implementation agenda. So we are only part of this implementation. We realize that. So they consider the implementation should be on the new organization in the central government. should be new format for the local finance transfer. So that means Minister of Finance. For this organization, that is their own, their authority in the Minister of Administrative Reform.
Okay.
And then we should talk also on the civil servants transfer. That's also their authority.
Okay.
And we should talk about this local regulation, that's our authority.
Okay.
Something like that. So it is coordinated by Ministry of Administrative Reform, we call it.
Okay.
Which is actually Pak Rias Rashid has been also as that minister. Pak Rias was in that minister in maybe maybe in Ibu Mega, ya?
Yeah.
Yes, in Ibu Mega, in the after President Gus Dur.
Okay. And so, this Ministry of Administrative Reform gave the Ministry of Home Affairs its specific responsibilities big project.
Yes.
What were those specific responsibilities?
Oh yeah, we should arrange about this transfer assets, assets transfers. We established by the time, because we the law was saying about six centralistic ministry. Or six aspect for central, like monetary, foreign affairs, religion, pertahanan negara itu, security, judicial, that's under central. Then we could define exactly what is still belonging the central government, and then we started bit by bit saying that should be from, let's say, one department, one ministry, like Ministry of Agriculture, you should release your asset and setting only about this, you know, about administrative and papers and those things. But still, it takes, I believe, more than, maybe, let me see, we started implement, maybe about 2-3 years.
Okay.
We finalized that.
Okay.
Because finally, until 2004 to 2005, there are some remaining problems, like you know, like about the official house in the region, about this vocational training unit, whether this is directly to be the owner of the local government, while we still have to take the expatriate format from the central government of the Department of Labor, something like that. So, so there are still, and maybe it takes more than about 3 years.
And
that assets, that's about this local regulation. We have to make the new arrangement. We have to make a new guidance for them, and then also organization in the region. We still have to check about this organization, and then we give the regulation on that.
Can you explain more what you mean by that?
You know, before we have some institution in the regional, in the region, which is directly belongs to Jakarta, like inspection, social and politics. Actually, they belong to Jakarta. They call it the concentration. They have the guidance from Jakarta, which is with the new law, it has to be belonging to the local government.
Yeah.
So there are some situation by the time whether this organization of social politics, for example, was relevant or not. I think that's also the attracting point, because we have a lot of discussion about this social political institution in the local government, whether they are to be there or not to be there, and then we decided that it has to be there, but not about the politics. It's about the national building.
Okay.
Something like that.
What had social politics done before? I'm not familiar with that function.
That's the function was, you know, not coordinating, building up communication with political party, sitting together with them, and then giving some, you know, trainings and budget on those things.
Okay. Okay.
So more in the political activities, uh-huh. something like that. Uh-huh. So by this new law, uh-huh. not anymore. And also, it's not only about the law of 22, but it was also their law of 43.
Yes.
We call it law on civil service, which yes. is. Which is strictly prohibited that the civil servant was involved in the political mm-hmm. Activities,
mm-hmm.
and also the spirit of the reform itself is mm-hmm. is asking that home affairs should not anymore dealing with politics, something
okay.
like that.
Okay, you know, I've seen a reference to Law 43 of 1999
mm-hmm.
In the context of the Civil Service Board resisting mm-hmm. some of the changes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Initially, can you describe to me what happened and how the process was managed?
You mean the Law 43?
Yeah. So I understand the Civil Service Board proposed that law mm-hmm. to resist this transfer.
Yes.
Can you explain what their thinking was and what happened?
Oh, you mean transfer the 90 the civil servant from central mm-hmm. to the locals?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, maybe it was not so clear reason, but mm-hmm. but it is about the previous system
mm-hmm.
that the whole of the civil servants was managed by central.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not so sure about the law itself, but in our in home affairs, actually, before is every you know every posting
mm-hmm.
of officials should be approved by Jakarta.
Mm-hmm.
By the time, and when I was in Secretary General, I don't mind at all if it should be, it should be under the government uh-huh. governor uh-huh. governor's approval.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it is most likely for the administrative matters,
uh-huh.
because you know what happened with Indonesia. When you have the village, let's say village unit,
mm-hmm.
Village administrative units,
mm-hmm.
it's also not clear to me. I think until now we still have discussed whether this village is a government or it is voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
This is still in the debating,
okay.
but it is more likely to be the village administrative.
Mm-hmm.
The government aspect, because in Indonesia, when you call about village, that means it's not only about administrative, but it's about the community life, mm-hmm. about culture, about those things. So this we still discuss about this one, and we are not providing the village law,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Now maybe most likely the reason is about this administrative because. The one who is guarding the administrative, the document and those things is should be the civil servants,
mm-hmm.
and there should be a close link between the administrative from every level,
mm-hmm.
so something like that most mm-hmm. likely, because I wasn't in 1999 it was established the mm-hmm. the law of 43.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't involve very much
okay.
by the, for that aspect. Maybe Prof. Mr. Toha, I think he okay. involved very much.
Okay, so maybe not the specific law, but in mm-hmm. general, did you encounter resistance from civil servants about the implications of Law 22 of 1999 for them and for what would happen to them?
No, I think okay. I think it should be, when we have decentralization, I have been 20 years in the region,
mm-hmm.
so I think we are requiring a lot of capabilities,
mm-hmm.
Expertise, and those things. You know why I took a master degree in Holland
mm-hmm.
on the rural planning, rural and land ecology actually.
Mm.
That the only reason is because I was there as a planner, and I said, wow, how could I get the method? How could I get a good and systematic format for this planning? So that's why I
mm-hmm.
I took a master degree and study in Holland for that aspect. Mm-hmm. So also we have been facing a lot of problem when we were in the region, say about the clean water supply.
Mm-hmm.
When we got problem, I was actually as a planner in the region was appointed informally by our governor
mm-hmm.
to be a good communicator between Jakarta and
mm-hmm.
the region.
Mm-hmm.
So I could hardly find a good solution because I have to visit a minister of public work, I have also to visit a minister of health, I have also to visit a laboratory in Bandung and those things. So
yeah.
So for me, mm-hmm. for my own ideas, I support very much about this,
mm-hmm.
You know, this transfer and
mm-hmm.
those things.
Mm-hmm. To bring it all under the mm-hmm. roof of a mm-hmm. local government. Okay. So you mentioned that the social politics department became a nation building.
Yeah, something like that. Now, because of, you know, because our doctrine, you call it,
uh-huh.
our doctrine is Negara Kesatuan Republik Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And Indonesia, as you aware, that we have a very big variance of ethnics and those
mm-hmm.
things. So this you know, this unit should make a well observation, provide for the resolution, and
mm-hmm.
and by that time there are a lot of let's say potential for conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
So on that basis we
mm-hmm.
developed that unit.
Do you think that unit played that role effectively?
Sorry?
Do you think that unit was successful in playing this role?
Yeah, we actually, but you know the system this time they do it in it is not quite clear operation.
Uh-huh.
For example, so what do I do with this thing? So the situation is only what they say is about this, let's not do conflicts,
okay.
Give this something like, you know,
yeah. mm-hmm.
socialization and
mm-hmm.
Dissemination about
mm-hmm.
what is the nation, what is the
mm-hmm.
necessity of being together, how could you sit together and not develop conflict, how
mm-hmm.
You should realize the government should provide stability, something like that. It's not so clear about what
okay.
is, but it's clear about this you know, challenge
mm-hmm.
because of this Indonesia's layout, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and the reason I was interested in your mentioning this is because
mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know if the government, if your department, or if you're aware of efforts by anyone in the government to do something to ensure that the regions maintain their loyalty to the center. Because, you know, one of the threats that people sometimes see with decentralization is that you're creating all these little units and they have a very
yeah.
narrow interest and they forget that they're part of this bigger country, this bigger national project.
Yeah.
So how is that? Was there anything done to try to maintain the orientation towards the nation, the center?
Yeah, that's actually the challenge also to me, because, you know, that's what I always telling. You know, talking about decentralization, it should be about interface between the region and the centrals.
Mm-hmm.
And Ministry of Home Affairs should play a lot more on that interface.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why during my time, I spoke all the time to the whole Secretary General
mm-hmm.
and telling about please keep a good communication and good intention to the
mm-hmm.
locals, because we could not guarantee that if they got any problem and then they said, okay, I don't like Jakarta anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be aware about all this. That's why we by the time, I was also chairing, we call it Association for Secretary General.
Uh-huh.
So we have by the time about 36 department,
uh-huh.
36 ministries,
mm-hmm.
and I was chairing the secretary generals of the whole ministry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I talk all the time about these ideas, and I said, theoretically, and maybe I learn also from Polandia,
uh-huh.
that they got problem with this decentralization, and
mm-hmm.
they decided to come back to the ruling party endorsing, and I don't want this happen to Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke informally between Secretary General. So be careful with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I said only that kind of things to me, because you know, regional, they have now their own chance. So they can say this time that I don't like you anymore, Jakarta, because you are troubling for us, something like that. So they mm-hmm. can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so the only way to overcome, also to not to let this happen, is that by giving the regions a good guidance, continuous, consistent, mm-hmm. and then on the basis of their interest, let's mm-hmm. say. And mm-hmm. also this time I still talk to them,
mm-hmm.
to some of our officials, saying you know we have been promised the region, let's mm-hmm. say 3 years ago when I was there in the preparation of this law and that law, that we promised to give the transparency to the mm-hmm. local government and something like that. So until now I still have some talks to them to mm-hmm. be very careful,
mm-hmm.
because let's say when we develop laws,
mm-hmm.
there must be negotiation between us and the regions,
mm-hmm.
say about this percentage of local allocation,
mm-hmm.
so central government would like to have it collect the whole revenues, and then we decide to mm-hmm. distribute, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the local government said, I want that you collect them all, but give us 70% or give us 30%. Oh, okay, local government said, no, you will have only 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or 2%. No, we will have 10. Okay, no, let's have it 5%, but with the promise of something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You will know exactly what you have in your region.
Mm-hmm.
You will know about the calculation. You will know about this, about this, and that, something like that. So mm-hmm. it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
The negotiation is clear.
Mm-hmm.
So it is still until now working.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a situation in Indonesia that you can change the law.
Mm-hmm.
You can change the law when a significant political situation is requiring something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about this local revenue, about this fiscal balance.
Mm-hmm.
We have already in 1999, we have also the one in 2004, and mm-hmm. now we are preparing for the new one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still reminding them, and fortunately mm-hmm. and luckily, mm-hmm. I am here, and I have a chance to remind our mm-hmm. committee by saying, look, before we have promised the region to, mm-hmm. to be this and this and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the situation. That's why I believe that it is a kind of continuous mm-hmm. situation to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we cannot, make it in batch.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be.
Mm-hmm. What you're saying by sticking to commitments, by having transparent negotiations, mm-hmm. these are way to build the confidence of regional government that Jakarta is serious about.
And what happened with Indonesia now is, I think there are some difficulties because of maybe about this continuation and about documentation probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's why I talked to Rohan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you learn also what is happening in Indonesia by this time. And I said to Rohan, if it's about the detail, I believe, mm-hmm. to me, mm-hmm. maybe it's good to write that when we have a big change, then mm-hmm. we should control also the details.
Mm-hmm. In the initial law?
Yeah, in the national law, in the implementation, mm-hmm. in the standards, in the procedures and mm-hmm. those things, because mm-hmm. we cannot leave that.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask just a few more questions mm-hmm. because we're running towards the end of our time.
Okay.
But firstly, in terms of, can you describe the relationship or the process for developing special autonomy for certain areas like Aceh and Papua
mm-hmm.
in this context? Because that's related to decentralization, but there's mm-hmm. a separate law. Can you describe, you know?
Yeah. to my position by that time, of course, that's because of the political push.
Mm-hmm.
because it was mentioned, because it was discussed in the parliament, in the general assembly meeting, mm-hmm. in 1999 and in 2000, which is saying that we should give more attention to Aceh and Papua. Mm-hmm. To my perception, it's about that political push, mm-hmm. and we believe that's because of political process, and the most significant reason is about welfare. Mm-hmm. So they ask more about the division mm-hmm. of the revenues. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, it's not about a certain percent. 80%. They would like to have it even 70% mm-hmm. or even 85%, like in Aceh and something like that. So, mm-hmm. so only that aspect, and another aspect from welfare besides welfare is about the ethnics. Mm-hmm. So I think Aceh is more on welfare aspect mm-hmm. and Papua is more on welfare mm-hmm. and the ethnics and the right of ethnics and the right of their position in Jakarta and those things. Mm-hmm. So we try to just to set it on that mm-hmm. corridors.
Mm-hmm. Were there any concerns but that by providing Aceh and Papua with separate legislation, it might encourage them to push for even greater independence? Mm-hmm.
In the law, mm-hmm. in the special autonomy law, there are some articles which is principally still having a good connection. Mm-hmm. So there are some which could be a barrier for that.
Okay.
But still, if we didn't implement them well, maybe I'm not sure if we can hold this in a very long time, because mm-hmm. it is a matter of how we serve them, how we give them a good guidance, how we give them a good, you know, a promising situation. Mm-hmm. If you give a money, just money, let's say for welfare, but we didn't make a good maintain for the good officers in the province, for example, then mm-hmm. still people will get angry, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. So until now, I'm still having some information from the region if mm-hmm. they didn't happy about mm-hmm. some regulation like this time they are not happy that mm-hmm. that MRP, they call it Papua Assembly, mm-hmm. was not involved on this direct elections mm-hmm. Decision and those things.
Yeah.
And I spoke to the special assistant for president mm-hmm. and I said, look, this in the region, so you have to mm-hmm. to inform a little bit to the relevant ministers and mm-hmm. be very careful about this situation. Mm-hmm. So my point is to me is that there are some obligation from the central government to the regions, mm-hmm. and also there are some obligation from the region to the centrals. So also during my time as a secretary general, I mm-hmm. did it that way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when I feel that they didn't do it well, then I make a call. So, Pak mm-hmm. Gubernur, okay. Do you see it is a good consideration that you didn't come to our meeting? Something like that. Yeah, Ibu Siti, I would love that. No, I think you should come.
Yeah.
You should come because of this, administrative of this, or this and that. Something okay. like that. So there are also some informal communication and mm-hmm. persuade. What do you call mm-hmm. persuade? Mm-hmm. Persuasion, mm-hmm. something like that.
Okay, that's very interesting. So you mentioned these articles that you think work against sort of creating the
yes,
possibility
the,
of
grand. Yes, something like, mm-hmm. you know, when we call, well, like, for example, for Papua, they asked about this emblem, mm-hmm. You know, the emblem and the celebration aspects mm-hmm. on that aspect. So we talk to them also, okay, look, emblem is also in another region, it's not only Papua. Uh-huh. Okay, well, for yours, if you wanted to establish it, okay, that's fine. Something uh-huh. like that, okay. You know, it's, I believe, I have my own belief that if we treat them well and fair, I think they are mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And lastly, you know, the promise of decentralization is that you're creating local governments that are closer to the people, that are better able to deliver services, that can provide a more accountable form of government. Do you think that that has been the case as a result of these decentralization policies and the implementation of those laws? And what evidence do you have that that is the case? If you think so,
I think the very significant for this decentralization, maybe I should say it in political based and administrative based about uh-huh. this decentralization. For this time, learning from tsunami Aceh mm-hmm. and learning from Yogyakarta disasters. And Sumatra Barat, Padang disaster, the last one, they have been having a good, arrangement within themselves mm-hmm. to overcome anything and to do this and to do that and those things. Mm-hmm. So that ones, I believe, the evidence that they have their own, possibility and chances to do things mm-hmm. and just report to the central government. But you know what happened? I'm not sure I'm still observing them myself. Mm-hmm. What is the situation, because of the there are new again arrangement from the government that disaster should be arranged this way and this and this and that. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to be very careful with this arrangement. Mm-hmm. So I think the policy on the sensation is there and the evidence are also there, but we also still discussing. Even yesterday morning until afternoon, I still have discussed with the many experts on constitutional law mm-hmm. about the possibility of mentioning about this decentralization in more detail in the constitution, mm-hmm. like you have in United States or you have in other countries. Mm-hmm. So the evidence is there mm-hmm. and the decentralization is also there, but. But maybe systematically, mm-hmm. Central government should provide a better mm-hmm. arrangement or better guidance or better, better perspective for the local government. That's mm-hmm. that's my impression, which is I am lucky that I am here and then I can see I can get also reports from the ministers because of our member asking mm-hmm. to them and mm-hmm. things like that.
Okay. Well, this has been a very fascinating discussion.
Thank you.
And the purpose of this interview is to allow people in other countries, new reformers in similar circumstances, to learn from the challenges that you've encountered. Is there anything that you'd like to add that we haven't had a chance to discuss so far?
Not really, but I believe my point is that I think we still need learn more from other country mm-hmm. Like about this democracy, about this decentralization, because we have our own values and culture. But still we can learn what is the universal format. Mm-hmm. That's why I went to United States last month. Mm-hmm. I went to United States and I am trying to learn mm-hmm. About the situation. And of course I could learn from internet and those things, but I'm trying to learn. I learn also from many countries, like mm-hmm. I learned not only coming there, but also learning from the internet. Like you have in, they have in Thailand, in Korea, in even when we went to Morocco, I uh-huh. learned how they deal with this decentralization.
Very interesting.
Morocco was systematically putting the agenda of decentralization every decade.
Yeah.
So every 10 years, they give this. authorities, certain sectors to certain local government, something like that. So it is quite also interesting. What I wanted to say is that it is a kind of continuous learning process, and we continually also requiring to learn from other countries' experience. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. I think by sharing your thoughts with us, you provided a resource for other people to learn. So thank you very much.
Thank you.